Hi, everybody. Welcome to the latest podcast in the series that GMPA are doing. And this one is around the subject of the real living wage. And I'm joined, very pleased to be joined today by Councillor Tom Ross, who is the leader of Trafford Council. So I'll just hand over to you, Tom, just to say briefly who you are and say hello.
Thank you very much, John. Hello, everyone. It's lovely to join you on this podcast. So as John says, my name is Tom Ross. I am the leader of Trafford Council, part of Greater Manchester. And from my own perspective, I have been a councillor since 2008. And then from 2019, I held the finance brief on the executive. And then on the 4th of January this year, became the leader of the council.
Excellent. So new to the job, but not new to the problems facing us.
No, absolutely not. I've been quite fortunate. You don't get the usual new to the job anxieties as to where this is placed and what you do here. I kind of know the building and the people, which is a good head start for me. And I've had a very, very busy couple of months so far.
I can imagine. So if I can just start by, I suppose, asking the obvious question, which is that Trafford Council has recently announced its ambition to become a living wage employer. And I just wondered, Tom, what brought you to that decision?
Well, it's been a couple of years in the making. Under my predecessor, Andrew Weston's leadership, and with the support of Graham Whittam, it is something that we wanted to prioritise in Trafford. We saw being a real living wage employer as an aspiration. It's a main thing to support people out of poverty by maximising people's incomes in the first place, and therefore reducing poverty in the borough. There was an added cause for it being more urgent, though, in recent months, is the cost of living crisis. We've seen just how much that's been hitting people's incomes, household budgets across the borough. So we wanted to put a marker down as a council to show that we believe that paying the real living wage is important, should be central to what we do as an employer. And we hope that that encourages other employers in the borough to follow suit.
Excellent. I know that, like most local authorities, you're facing issues for your residents around cost of living crisis. And whilst it's particularly acute, it's nothing new to a lot of residents in Trafford. Poverty and, you know, struggling to get by is something that lots of people have had a long-term sort of experience of, really. And I just wonder where the living wage and this decision sits in your plans overall to tackle poverty and in particular around the cost of living crisis that we're currently in.
Well, that's a really good question. And I have to say my years as a councillor, which is coming up to 15 in May, I have seen just how much cost of living and austerity has impacted on residents in key parts of the ward that I represent in Stretford. And I know that my colleagues in Trafford Council all feel the same, that we need to address the roots of underlying roots that cause poverty, which is why one of our three strategic corporate priorities for Trafford is supporting people out of poverty. One aspect of that is, of course, the real living wage. But in tandem, we've developed a poverty strategy for 2022 to 25, which is designed to alleviate the economic hardship and inequality that exists across the borough. The key thing with that is collaboration and partnership working. We can't do this in isolation. We've worked with partners to create this strategy, and we're already beginning to see it bear fruit. One of the other things that we've also launched, it was actually May last year, was the Trafford Poverty Truth Commission, right, which gave people with experience of living in poverty the opportunity to speak up and build relationships with those people in a position of influence. I'm very excited. This week, the commission will conclude, and now we're going to look at how its legacy. And I think we've got a couple of exciting things that we're looking at around the legacy of the Poverty Truth Commission, how we hold on to the key themes that came through there, and how we as a key stakeholder in Trafford can help drive them forward. And finally, I talked about partnership work before. We have a very strong voluntary community faith and social enterprise sector in Trafford, and they do feed into a lot of the work that we're trying to do to alleviate poverty in the borough. So there's a range of things there. Yeah. I think our feeling is you need to have it as a strategic priority, because if you don't, a lot of work can kind of be sidetracked by other priorities. So we've got it central to what we do as a council here. And I feel that since doing that, we've begun to see things progress quite quickly.
That's great. Excellent. Sounds like a lot going on there. I'm just a question really about, you mentioned partnership and collaboration. I just wonder how important you think the lead that Trafford is taking, the impact that that'll have on other employers, and how you might be able to influence that. Because obviously it's important that Trafford is as an employer does it, but equally from a living wage campaign perspective, yeah, it's also important that is replicated across different sectors, and in particular amongst your private sector providers. So I wonder how taking that lead, you think that what impact that will have?
I think it will have a high impact. I mean, Trafford as an organisation is a multi-million pound organisation. So it is huge. It employs a significant number of people, yeah, within the region. And it has a budget. So our revenue budget is over £200 million a year now. So we are a large organisation, but at the same time, we're an organisation like all councils across the borough that have, across the country, have experienced budget difficulties since the start of austerity. So we have challenges every year we need to address. I feel that if we as a council can see the value of the real living wage, the impact it can have on our workforce, the benefits it brings to our workforce, the benefits it brings to the local economy through local spend. If we can see that, and despite the financial challenges that councils face year in, year out, despite that, can do it, I would expect other key partners, not just in the public but private sector, to be following suit. So I do see it as quite an important move for us to start, yeah, the accreditation process. And obviously, we very much hope that we are accredited in no time at all.
Yeah. I suppose it's a bit of a cheeky question in a way, but becoming accredited, if it was as easy as just saying 1, 2, 3, then lots more people would do it. There obviously there are challenges for some organisations in becoming accredited, and I just wondered, and Trafford Council won't be immune from that, and I just wondered what on that journey so far, what you felt was the key challenge really for the local authority? I mean, with finance or, process or?
I think the key challenge has been finance. And having held the finance brief, I always had one eye to, what was happening with our budget, the performance during the year. However, you do have to, and I did, you have to step back and look holistically at the benefits here. If you look at how it will hopefully improve our retention of, yep, staff, obviously boost staff morale, boost staff engagement, which is incredibly important for our workforce here, and also how it also impacts positively on the local economy. We're talking about people that are at the lower end of the pay scales, pay bracket here, and actually there's a clear economic argument for people to have an increase in pay at that end, because of what going back to my kind of economic study days, they have a higher marginal propensity to spend. So it means that they are spending that increase, and it is going into the everyday services, whether they be people living in Trafford or just kind of further afield but within the region. There is a clear economic case for doing it, despite the financial challenges that we had to work through to get there.
Absolutely, and I think that's a really important message, actually, Tom. I mean, I might be prejudging, but I'm guessing that not many of your low pay residents are, investing in hedge funds in the Cayman Islands with their increased salary. They're more likely to be spending it down the local shop.
Absolutely, yeah, we're just spending it in the local shopping centres. Getting well, being able to get those things that they want to have that they can't have at the moment. There's just so many facets to it. And I feel that the cost of living crisis has really brought home how decent pay at a realistic level for people to do live day in, day out. It's so important. Over the past, decade or more now, you've seen that gap grow between pay and the cost of living and other things that come in, the challenges that people face. We've got to address that rebalance. So as an organisation, we're putting that marker down to say, well, this is what we're doing. We expect our partners, whether it be private or public sector partners in the borough, to join us on that journey.
That's brilliant. I mean, from my point of view, I see a lot of... I talk to a lot of employers who are on this journey or have made this commitment. And certainly with, I think, around local authorities who are commissioning a lot of things like social care, adult care, I think the one word that comes into it, actually, and particularly more so after the pandemic, is dignity, really. I think, you know, this is about giving people the dignity in work that that we all clapped them for.
Absolutely.
And I don't, you know, I assume, I don't know, I'm asking you, that that's a part of the motivation around. I know that there's very, very good economic and business bottom line cases, but somehow I know that I speak to a lot of employers who feel it is a matter of social justice, really, around paying their living wage.
It absolutely is, and that's at the core of it. You've got to be a good employer, and you know, part of that, the central part of that is pay and conditions. And so as soon as we were able to be in that position to do this, we wanted to be a good employer and to make sure that we are looking after our own team of officers here particularly at the lower pay scales. You're right. I mean, during the pandemic, like other public services, our officers were there day in, day out on the front line delivering council services. And they need more than applause. They need to see that that investment in them, which I think the Real Living Wage brings with it.
That's great. Just to finish on, really, is I suppose the obvious question, which is, what happens next, and what's your what's your plan, your timescale, and you know, is there any sort of view, vision beyond becoming a living wage employer? I think Manchester and Salford have taken the step of becoming living wage places, so to encourage, you know, bigger institutions. I don't know if that's in your eye line yet, or are you just dealing with this for now?
I think, I mean, that sounds like an exciting prospect to look at. We want to hear back about our accreditation as soon as possible, because as soon as we do, we want to put a celebration event on where we'll be promoting our accreditation and encourage other organisations to join us in delivering on the action plan agreed as part of our own process. And one of the things that I am keen to pursue and look at further is go from being a supporter status for the Good Employment Charter to full membership. So that is something that I'm looking to have meetings about in the not too distant future, because that seems like a logical next step for us as a borough. And of course, you know, we'll continue to work on both a GM and a Trafford basis on a cost of living activity to support our residents. So there's a lot in the pipeline. This is just one stage of our journey to help address the, you know, the root causes of poverty. But I very much see it as a priority to grow from here after the work that's gone in to get us to the putting in our accreditation application.
Thanks, Tom. That sounds great, and I wish you well, and I'd look forward to attending the launch of the of your accreditation, and hopefully that's as soon as possible. So again, just thanks to everybody for listening in, and thanks very much to my guest today, Councillor Tom Ross, the leader of Trafford Council. So thanks very much, and thanks, Tom.
Thank you.